This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe.
What?
Come on, Joe. Let's go. One more hour to go.
All right, here we go. What would you like to do first, Bob? The receiver situation, or would you like to go to our new segment called Sounds of the
Game? Let's do the Sounds of the Game.
I'm excited for this.
You piqued my interest.
Yeah. You haven't heard any of these clips yet. Limits, you start us off. You're the guy who runs Sounds of the Game. These are things that have been heard on this show when Bob hasn't been here, so he deserves a chance to weigh in.
All right, Bob, let's get your thoughts on Rich Rod. We had him on Friday last week, West Virginia's old coach, now new coach, talking about Pitt being the biggest game of the year every year.
Let's stoke a little backyard brawl stuff. September 13th should be very interesting. Pitt comes to Morgantown. Now, at your introductory news conference, I believe this was, or maybe it was on the Pat McAfee show, I don't know which, you were talking about how the two worst four-letter words out there are soft and lazy, but then you said to McAfee, so I guess it was with McAfee, that you left out Pitt as a four-letter word that you didn't like too much. It won't take long to get this going, will it?
No, it's a great one of the greatest rivalries in college sports, period. It's just up the road. They don't like us. We don't like them. There's no question that the most important – every game's important, but Pitt's the most important.
Yeah, I would expect him to say that, especially now that 13-9 is a career-changing element to his life, that once that happened, everything changed for him. So I think he's thinking about that game. Why should he? Everyone should be. And I'm glad they're doing it. They need to do it. Everybody with local college ties needs to play together. I want to see those games.
Is it the most important game on Pitt's schedule? I hope it is. I hope people view it as that.
Forget about the guy. I know you want to win the conference, but when it comes to bragging rights locally and you have a chance to beat a team like this, you should elevate it in status.
What would you prefer if you could have either game every year, Penn State or West Virginia?
Penn State for me.
Mm.
I want to see that, yes.
Could you elaborate on that,
No,
Bob?
I want to see Penn State come here. I want to see them go there. I want to see it every year. I want to see both of these teams every year.
Why do you like Penn State over West Virginia?
Because I think it has more people around here who are buzzing about that rivalry the way it used to be, more so than West Virginia Pitt. But again, I'd like to see both.
Sometimes it's very difficult to get an answer out of Bob.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable that Bob had to say, and I will try to elaborate on that a little bit more. I feel like...
Bob, he just took a subtle shot at you.
No, I said I agreed with everything.
No, you said you try to elaborate, whereas Bob didn't.
You make it sound like I didn't give you an answer.
You didn't. I had to press on you, and then I said why.
Because I want to see it, because there's more buzz about that series.
Why do I always get blamed when one of you two takes a shot at each other?
Because you just said I didn't give you an answer, and I gave you an answer. My answer was Penn State.
And then I said, could you elaborate on that?
And
you said no. And then you did.
I didn't say no. I said, did I say no?
Go to the tape.
Bob, did you think that I wasn't taking a shot at you and insulting you?
No.
There we go.
What were you going to say, though? Are you going to elaborate?
Yeah, you were going to elaborate.
Well, I feel like that rivalry in, look, Pitt in West Virginia is so heated, but I feel like the history around Pitt and Penn State, and it's the whole, like, Pitt and West Virginia know they're rivals, but Pitt and Penn State pretend that they're not rivals with each other. Yes, you are. Both fan bases, just admit
wait,
it.
Wait. How does the Pitt fan base pretend it's not a rival with Penn State? They cheer during basketball games when a Penn State football score comes up where they're losing.
And I feel like it's the same way at Penn State, too, where they say, oh, unrivaled, and which I don't agree with that. Pitt's your rival. Ohio State is your rival. You have rivals. So maybe I'm looking at this more at a Penn State perspective than I am at a Pitt perspective. But I do feel like those two, when they play, is the most fun rivalry.
Let's play for Bob. Rich Rod on 13-9.
Oh,
that leads us into
that.
An unpleasant
good.
Memory, but one we have to broach here. December 1st, 2007. 13-9 is the final score. How many times have you replayed that night, Rich? Like what do you think went wrong?
Yeah, I don't know. You say you had to bring it up. Hell, why'd you have to bring it up?
I mean, that's the last time you were seen in Morgantown playing Pitt.
Yeah, why are you being so mean? No, it was the worst night of my professional career by far. I mean, there's nothing even comes close. It was the Titanic for my career. And we played poorly. I coached poorly. I was too conservative. You know, we had a little bit of, you know, bad luck, whatever. We had a couple injuries here and there. But it was just whatever could go wrong went wrong. And I was the head coach, so I'm responsible for that. And we were going to play for the national championship. So that still burns. I try not to think about it. Not so much because, you know, it brings back bad memories for our fans and all that. Just because it just brings back a horrible memories for me and my staff and our players, because they had a great year and it was a great group of people and we just had a horrible night.
The Titanic, he said.
Yeah. He said it's on Titanic. That's pretty much what happened to his career right after that. He had a chance to play in a national championship and then they lose to a team that was a 28-point underdog. And those games are always tricky. Because you know how people think about rivalries. You say, well, you're not, you know, it's a rivalry, throw everything out the window. But yet you're a 28-point favorite over a Pitt team that had struggled.
Yeah.
And yet you allow them to hang around the longer, and then things get tense. And then he gets, as he said, a little too cautious maybe, and that's what happens. So, you know, it changed everything in West Virginia, especially him.
I like Rich
Rod. I'm glad he's back, though. I do. I'm glad he's back.
I like him. I should qualify that. I've only talked to him a couple times in person, but he's a good villain, too, isn't he, in a rivalry? You know what I mean? He says what he thinks.
I've had him a couple of times when Dan McCann, God rest his soul, was doing the Coach's Corner luncheons. I used to MC those, and he would get guys coming up, and Rich would bring his West Virginia people with him, and it was always interesting to hear the back and forth with Pitt and West Virginia in those banquets, luncheons. And so, he's a colorful character. I'm glad he's back. I think it was probably the best choice they could have made at this point, too.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, Limits, let's go to, you tell us what you have next for Bob.
I have two clips from Warren Sharp here, Bob. Warren Sharp of Sharp Football does a really good job on his site and his coverage. Said that the Steelers are making the wrong decision with Justin Fields if they decide to bring him back.
My opinion really has not changed at all. I said last year before the season started, one of these guys is going to quote unquote win the QB1 battle. But in reality, everybody is going to lose because neither of these guys is capable of actually being a legitimate QB1 that's going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers any place that really matters in the 2024 season. And that's exactly what ended up happening. Yes, they won a couple more games than I thought that they might, but overall this team still ended up at the same location that we all pretty much thought that they would, which is not doing anything meaningful in the NFL playoffs. And unfortunately, if they take Justin Fields as QB1 into a battle in the AFC North with quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and expect to have a ton of success, I think you're kidding yourself. If they take Justin Fields then into a battle in the AFC conference in general with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, I think you're kidding yourself if you think that this is the guy that's going to actually lead the Pittsburgh Steelers to anywhere meaningful in 2025.
I agree with him. I know you don't.
No. What he said is true. And you're not going to compete with those guys, but what other answer do they have?
Jackson
what do they
Dart.
Do? Okay. Jackson Dart. So my point is, for now, they have to deal with what they have to deal with. They're chasing a quarterback ever since Roethlisberger left. They've gone through 3 years of this now, and they're still chasing. For now, Fields is the best option. Is he on the same level as Mahomes and Allen? No. And none of those guys. But can he efficiently move an offense? I think I want to see this happen, that he can, with legs and with better decisions in the pocket. And hopefully for them, a run game that actually does better than 3.9 yards per carry.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Well, how's it been so far, gentlemen? You like the sounds of the game? I think it's wonderful segment. Limits?
It's been great so far.
Yeah.
You should ask Jack what he thinks of the Pitt-Penn State rivalry.
I will do that. We'll have Jack on within the next week, Jack Ham.
That would be great.
How do you like that? Did David DeCastro get back to you?
Not yet. Warren Sharp also basically said, Bob, that he thinks that Justin Fields is terrible.
It's night and day different, especially on early downs, how these two quarterbacks performed. The only thing really that Justin Fields did better than Russell Wilson was that he was a bit more industrious on third down. He used his legs a little bit more. He was a little bit more creative on third down and actually got the ball out a little bit quicker than Russ did on third down. But on first and second down, I mean, Justin Fields held onto the football the longest of any quarterback in the NFL. And he was terrible. He was objectively terrible on early downs, which is what you need from an offensive quarterback to keep the chains moving, stay ahead of the sticks when you do drop back to pass the football. I also believe, and I don't know for sure, but I believe that the Steelers are probably a little bit more predictable from a run perspective as well earlier on in the season when Justin Fields was their quarterback. So I just think that this is a terrible decision made by Mike Tomlin. That's not going to help the Pittsburgh Steelers win more games in 2025 and do anything postseason-wise, which is his biggest struggle.
The key there is it is Mike Tomlin's decision, as was Kenny Pickett, as was Trubisky. You know, whether you agree or disagree, there's one guy here who has more power than anybody except Art, and Art picks and chooses when he wants to step in, which means day-to-day, the guy who's running this organization is Mike Tomlin. It's as we've mentioned many times, the Steelers are a coach-centric organization, unlike, say, the Eagles.
But to his comment, he's not wrong about any of it, and that's what has to improve. I'm not going to rule out that Justin Fields can't become a better quarterback, can't become a better first and second down quarterback. I want to see that because I think that bodes better for them than bringing in a 37-year-old Russell Wilson or any of these other guys who are hanging around at older ages. So at this point, they're kind of fenced into what they have, I think. Short of drafting someone, they have what they have. And you have to figure out what's best for that now and then, you know, again, continue to find the guy who's going to be the eventual franchise quarterback.
What else do you have, Limits, for sounds of the game?
I have Dan Burt of Duquesne Women's Basketball talking about how much he loves Joe Starkey's shooting ability and also... He will not comment on mine.
Dan, I have to ask you quickly if you were impressed at all with my free throw shooting the day I came over there. I was certainly better than the guy to my left here, wasn't I?
Let me tell you, Joe, you can play. There's no question you've been down to Mellon Park back in the day. Everybody out there, Joe Starkey's a baller. That guy can ball. He got a little stiffer as we've gotten older, but you can tell that he's played a lot of basketball on the playground, whether it's Mellon Park or up at Kennard or somewhere in the suburbs. He's not just a good free throw shooter. He's got a nice quick release, and you know that he can shoot it.
You like that?
Now,
yeah, but I wish that Dan would have seen us shoot at Pitt whenever Biba Cummings and I beat Joe and Jalen Lowe in a free throw shooting contest. I got my revenge.
Biba Cummings being the key to that sentence. But Dan was about to review your game. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, boy.
You don't get paid to have silence, so I won't say anything about Austin.
Thanks, Coach.
Bob, what did you make of that interaction?
I, from what I know of you, Joe, you did have the form back in the day, a stiffer version, no doubt, as we see here every day in the studio. But, yeah, you have the form. And once you have the form, you can do it.
Then why can't I do golf?
Because
what's going wrong for me?
Your expectations are completely wrong. You think that this is an automatic, I get out there, and because I can hit a ball 230 with my 7-wood, that I'm going to immediately shoot. No, no, no. It is a long process. There are so many little nuances to the game that you have to get better at.
Does Jack Ham play golf?
I'm sure he does. You know, I've played with a lot of those guys over the years, so I would imagine he does.
Most notably what I have to get better at?
Short game.
Yeah.
We all do. From 100 yards and in, eliminate three putts.
And I have to keep a cooler head.
You seem to be really into your form and your swing and the fact that you can pound it off the tee when you hit it. That's all well and good. But that's not how you win in golf.
I don't want to win in golf. I'm only competing with myself.
And you're losing.
I know, that's the problem.
Right. So.
And you're losing. Limits, were you insulted by what Dan Burt said about you?
No, I was not. I knew it was a joke, and we actually talked about it afterward. He made sure I knew it was a joke. I'm curious who's the most notable person that Bob has ever golfed with.
So am I.
Well, I mean, back in the days of the Mario Lemieux tournament, I played with a lot of those guys. So,
who?
Well.
Jordan?
I never played with Jordan. I've been in rooms with him where we sat and chatted and, you know, all that stuff. Never played. Because he played. Mario Jordan would play with two of the highest, you know, whoever wanted to pay money to play in those groups. And those groups had a lot of fun with those guys. They were engaging. Everything about it was good. But, you know, I played with Ben before a couple times.
Gretzky?
Not Gretzky, no. He wasn't there as much as
Mario.
Some of those other guys. Mario played with him. In fact, Mario can still play.
I think Mario wins the prize here, don't you, Limits, so far?
Yeah, I'd say so.
He doesn't waste any time. He gets up there and smashes it and just keeps playing. And he's really good. I think if he would practice a lot more, boy, he could take it to a different level.
Where is Austin now? He's a very good golfer. What's he doing
golf
now,
ball.
As far as golf goes?
Well, I'm not sure exactly. I know he is deep into it. You know, he plays in a lot of Tri-State PGA events around here, and I'm not sure beyond that. I'm sure he has thoughts of getting on one of these tours. I hope he does.
Man, that's got to be tough to get on a... Once you get to a certain level in golf, I imagine you find many people right at that level. So how do you separate yourself?
Putting. It's simple. It's the whole thing. It's putting.
Really?
You make putts. Well, ask yourself the next time you play. Just look at your scorecard. And specifically, how many putts per hole, okay? The guys who do well reduce that number pretty drastically. You can't have three putts.
I suck, Bob. The question now is, should I quit?
You go through this all the time, and the answer is no.
I went for a club fitting yesterday and was angry.
You felt pressure.
Even at the club
you
fitting.
You felt pressure.
I can't get through a club fitting without getting angry.
That's your mistake. You're taking it too seriously. Just let it happen.
I know. Why do I do that? I can't figure it out.
You're
going
to have a nice round coming up down in Florida here soon with a buddy of mine who I know is going to treat you well, and he's a very good golfer. So you'll learn just by watching him.
What's his name? Alex, right?
Yep.
Seemed like a nice man when I texted him.
He's got a son who's
think we'll
doing
go out
very
to dinner?
Well in sports, too. He's going to get a scholarship somewhere, too. So, yeah, he'll give you first-class treatment.
Here's the question. When I go to Naples, I think we're going to Marco Island, Naples area, which is also Fort Myers, which is where we're landing. Do I or do I not call Ron?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. Ask him to caddy for you.
Yeah, right.
Actually, he would love to just drink
I
beer
bet
in
he
the
would.
Cart.
He
that
would
be. That's actually a great idea.
Yeah, tell him, hey, we can chat while I'm playing and you can sit there and just relax, have a few and watch.
Should I be offended that when Ron has snuck back into Pittsburgh, he hasn't called me?
Has he done that?
Yes.
He's been in Pittsburgh?
Yes, he has.
I didn't know that.
He's gone to Domenico's multiple times.
Yep.
Really? I didn't know that. I thought he might give a shout out.
Apparently he didn't text you either, did he, Bob?
No, apparently not.
What should I do about that?
He likes to keep it under the wraps, I guess, is his presence in Pittsburgh.
Last year when we went down there, we did see Ron. We had a nice dinner. Do you remember the photos from that dinner,
yes.
Bob?
Yeah, that was very good.
I still say I've never seen a man. There's two people who spring to mind when I'm asked, you know, when have you seen like a radical transformation? I guess other than people I know who like got off drugs and things like that. But in sports, Ron Cook and Brian Billick. Ron Cook... Within a month, that was maybe 2 months after he left here, he was a completely transformed human being.
Meaning retirement life really agreed with him.
Meaning and he was, 20 less pounds, tan, smile on his face, upbeat attitude, freed of all the worry of the world of trying to think of his next column, of pacing up and down the hallway trying to write his next column, of having to see me every day. He's on the beach in Florida with beer and, you know, a pool at his place.
And no deadlines.
I've never seen it. I've never seen somebody look that different
that
fast.
You dream of those days also?
I've had dreams like that, yes. And then Billick, you know, was wound tighter than a drum. And I used to see him a lot I was covering a lot of football then. I'd go to Westminster and cover the Ravens in training camp. He was funny, remember?
He was really great.
But he was also highly, highly intense. Like you felt if you put your finger on his shoulder, your finger would burn, you know? So then I see him all these years later in Latrobe at Steeler camp. It was like Jimmy Buffett. It was just like the weight of the world. It was just like he's walking around in sandals and the happiest guy on earth. And I'm like, I told him on the air, we had him on the air that day. I said, you are nothing like the human being you were when I went to Westminster. And he's like, yeah,
Belichick's not retired, but his time away from pro football and what he's turned himself into, nobody saw that transformation coming, right? So those guys do find another life out there, and they find it to be interesting. And less pressure, less stress, all of it.
Jimmy Johnson's the classic example. In fact, Jimmy Johnson's book is, all joking aside, what inspired Ron to do what none of us thought he would do, which was leave early, retire early. And it was quality time left, QTL.
He kept saying that.
Yeah.
And I agree with that.
And now Jimmy Johnson himself is officially retired.
Doesn't that go through your head? Yes, that QTR. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Quality time left. How much? We don't know. Nobody knows what we have left.
I mean,
that's why you want to do it while you can, but it's a tug of war. How long do you want to do what you do versus make time for the things you want to do really in your life beyond work?
All I want to do is play golf.
I know you do.
When's our next round, Bob? How about today?
I have to work.
Call in sick. Can you just call in sick every once in a while?
I don't do that.
You've got a lot of pull around there, and sometimes you are sick.
I am sometimes, but I still try to grind it out.
All right.
We'll play, Joe. We're gonna play, but I want to hear about your round down in Florida.
I can't wait. You're going to be covering for me at that point, aren't you? Doing the show? A lot of people like it better when it's just you. In fact, almost everybody does.
That is not true.
Yeah, it is. I've got a lot of texts to that effect.
I'm just here. I'm like your caddy.
I'm second on the marquee. Limits. Let's just be honest about it. Bob is the mover and shaker here.
This has been your show for I'm just here 3 days a week, and that's that. And you and Austin do the rest of it, and with your guests and everything, you don't need me.
You know what I'm proud of, Bob? We're both drinking giant vats of water today. Do you see this one?
Yes, I remember that. That's a massage place.
Yeah, right? The Hand and Stone massage and facial spa. But I'm worried because I've had this hoarseness in my voice for 4 months. Andy Toole told me to go to a professional. I did. The guy put a camera down my nose and looked at my voice box, said everything's okay. Lungs are okay.
Well, then don't worry about it.
I have to worry about it. It still happens every day. What's wrong with me?
Nothing.
Yes, there is.
Your mind is taking over and stress is... Don't let yourself get down that rabbit hole of stress. That's a tough thing to get out of.
Do you have it from time to time?
Yes, I do, and I'm trying. I try to not think about it. My wife is great about that. She has got the best attitude about dealing with things. She doesn't let anything bother her. And I try not to, but then sometimes it does get the better of me.
Life was easier when I was a kid, Bob. No future fears, no resentment, no guilt. And then in some ways it was easier when I drank all the time. No fears, no guilt, no
no recollection of where you are or who you are.
Exactly. And now it's just I worry about every little thing. It's like a car that has 250,000 miles. One day you're healthy, the next day when you hit boom, one little milestone, everything changes, everything breaks, everything's different.
This is what you have to look forward to in your quote golden years. They're tarnished a little.
And I see Ron, and he looks happy as a lark. Maybe I'm jealous.
You can do the same thing if you want, and you should at some point, obviously. But you know what? If you're good that way, if you know you, you have to know you. You have to know what you're trying to get out of the rest of your life. And happiness is defined only by you. I can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. You have to do it for you.
That's profound, I think. Do you limits? I like that advice.
Yeah, I think, you always got to live in the moment and appreciate what you have and keep striving for more the best you can.
And when you see others struggle, you just throw out more.
Is it an aphorism? Is that what it is, Bob? Than Russell Wilson does on a given day. That was incredible, limits.
This is not toxic,
you too.
Is it? We're not toxic.
No, okay. This is good. Platitudes is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.